Livingston of Infamous Mothers. Let's give it up. There are so many expectations. There are so many things going on. I have to ask myself, where and how do I enter this conversation? The expectation is for me to stand here and deliver a speech that highlights the ways in which white women failed this country on November 8, 2016. Expect me to say, while you white women were driving around with bumper stickers saying, I'm with her, 94% of black women and 63% of Latino women who voted were at the polls voting for her. Only 47% of you showed up. I am supposed to ask, where were the rest of you? For some, the expectation is for me to tell you how much we don't trust you, how black and brown women are tired of cleaning up your messes just to be thrown out like trash and dismissed after the work has been done. Others want this speech to be about our refusal to form alliances with you until you apologize for historically putting your own needs and wants ahead of ours and other women's, for your role in oppressing the marginalized. But to ask me to do this is to ask me to step out of character and be someone I am not. There are far better women who are far more qualified to have that conversation with you and to give that speech. So today, right now, what I have to offer you is me. I show up in as a woman in a space of women. I show up vulnerable. Today, I am standing at the intersection of many identities. Black, bald-headed, full-figured, single mother of six children, four different fathers, poor, PhD candidate, entrepreneur, woman. Which one of me shall I channel for this occasion? Which part of me is welcomed here? Whom shall I evoke? Who shall I leave behind? And what will my choice cost me? Which one of me doesn't need health care, an equal and sustainable wage, clean air and water? To ask me to choose is a trick question. It's to ask me to vote against myself. It's to ask me to amputate parts of me in favor of an agenda that is not interested in all of me, and that is unwise. So on this day, I make the choice to stand here, black, bald-headed, full-figured, single mother of six by four, PhD candidate, entrepreneur, woman. And I give you all of me because it's all I have to give. I tell you this very personal decision because any good feminist knows that the personal is always political. means you, like me, are standing here at the intersection of many identities, all shaped and influenced by race, class, sexuality, ability. Which parts of you do you amputate? Which feminists here today do we promote? Whites, blacks, Latinas? Who do we leave behind? Feminist men, Muslims, Asians? And what will our choices cost us? Who here does not need health care? Who here does not need an equal and sustainable wage, clean air and water? Are these trick questions? To choose one identity over the other, will we in fact be voting against ourselves? Will we be amputating parts of a collective right to equality and justice, the right to overthrow oppression? And if so, we have to ask ourselves, whose agenda are we serving if it isn't about recognizing all of us? And is that wise? I agree that the measure of a society is how it treats its women and girls. But I believe one of the best measures of a society is how it treats those women and girls most marginalized, teen moms. Thank you. Women on drugs, sex workers, women and girls experiencing homelessness, impoverished women, single mothers, women in low-income housing, women on welfare, women of color, women with mental and physical health challenges, women experiencing domestic abuse, victims of rape. I believe that a healthy society is one in which those at the center screams in agony when those furthest away are cut. It hurts when we hurt. It cries when we cry. And it moves and acts on our behalves. Equally and more importantly, it is invested in making sure that we all have the tools and resources to act on our own behalves. And I believe this because I understand that most things, if not all things, are only as strong as its most vulnerable parts. And what I know standing here at the intersection of so many identities is that contrary to what we'd like to believe, at any given point, pieces of us are always on the fringes. And if that's not the case for you now, it's only a matter of time. Your privilege will not always protect you. It will not keep your water clean or your mind sane or your body intact. It will not keep you from amputating parts of yourself to fit someone else's agenda. So what do we do? I'm supposed to tell you that we're supposed to read. Read wide, read deep. I want to tell you to put your money behind programs that are struggling to help women. Programs like YWCA, DAYS, the Catalyst Project. I want to tell you to support businesses that are interested in uplifting women, like the Doyen Project. The Doyen Group, I apologize. But the best advice I can give you is one that I got from a woman who was black, uneducated, multiple children, poor, living in low-income housing. It was simple advice. It was simply, never accept no from someone who's not authorized to tell you no. Thank you, Sagacious. Let's give her another hand. name is Kelda Helen Royce, and I'm delighted to be here with you beautiful people today. For those of you in the front, this crowd stretches all the way down State Street and all the way around the corner here. We are here, and we will not let them tell us no because they are not authorized to tell us no. I'm here as an advocate for women's rights. I'm here as a former state legislator. I'm here as an entrepreneur and a mom. And I'm here because I care about this country and I care about this community. If there's one thing I can say about Madison, we know how to protest. But we know that the protest is just the beginning. The protest is our battle cry, but it is not the battle. And so I've spent some time thinking about what my commitment is, the oath that I am taking. And what I'm going to do tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, and for the next 4 years, and for the next 40 years, to care about this community. And I'd like each of you to take just a minute, turn to your friends, think about what you're going to do and the commitment you're going to make, and tell the person near you. Make a pledge. So everybody, please just take 10 or 20 seconds, think about it, and share it with your neighbor. Okay. Now you've made that promise to each other. We've made this promise to each other. That is the sound of resistance. Thank you all very much. It's my great pleasure to introduce our next speaker. She is a transgender health advocate at Outreach. She's a Vietnam combat veteran. She is an award-winning civil rights defender. She's a speaker and an educator, and she is a passionate defender of rights for transgender people and the LGBT community. Please help me welcome Darla Lannert.
Hi. Look at all the nasty women here. I'm really honored. I'm extremely humbled that I'm here today. And I would like to thank the organizers of this event for inviting me. Because by inviting me, we're talking inclusion and equality for all women. So, Laverne Cox says it best. Anytime a transgender person leaves their home, they're making a statement in a world that says we don't exist. Today, I exist. I am a strong, confident, caring, compassionate, and powerful transgender woman. I will continue my efforts every day to advocate for the trans community. I will advocate every day for the LGBTQ community. The non-conforming people, all my queer friends, wherever you may be. So today, what we have is hope. And I do this every day. I give you hope that we will have the opportunity to live in a world where my children and my grandchildren will have equality in their lives. I have hope that healthcare, education, housing, employment, and disability rights will be afforded for all people. Let's end systemic homelessness and start with housing first. Let's stop filling our jails and prisons because somebody wants to get high. I'm very aware of my privilege. I grew up in a middle-class home, and I was afforded many things in my life that many do not have. For that, I'm truly grateful. So, I want you to remember, it's not about what you have, it's about what you give. So starting today, let's start giving back to our communities to support them because we need your money. So when we talk about inclusion and equality for all, here's how you can help the transgender community. We can start by being an ally for us. We can start to stand up to hateful bathroom legislation. Such as HB 2 and new bills introduced since we've changed the face of Washington, D.C., Texas, Virginia, Kentucky, Minnesota, and many other places want to deny me the right to pee. They say they don't want me to pee because I will attack your daughters and your girlfriends and your wives. Not true. It's transgender people that are being attacked and murdered daily. So what I want to leave you with today is this, is that today we take action, and today we stand up for everyone in this crowd, and we do what's right. So I have some words from Andra Day. Not my words, but Andra's Day. It says, you're broken down and tired, and we're living on a merry-go-round, and we can't find a fighter, and we're gonna walk it out. We're going to move mountains. We'll rise up unafraid, and we'll do it 1,000 times. When the silence isn't quiet and it's getting hard to breathe and you feel like dying, I promise you this, we will take the world to their feet. Excuse me. And we will move mountains. I ask that every one of you today do something to change the hate in America. No hate in my state. Thank you.